Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Lord, I just thank you for your leading tonight. I thank you, Father, for the leading that you do all the time. Let us be ever vigilant to acknowledge you in us. And not only that, Lord, that we would, your presence would be dear to us in our walk. And Father, I ask that you forgive us of all distractions that we have allowed in our life in the last little bit. I ask, Father, that you place it in us to talk to you all the time, all the time. And I praise you, Father, for doing it. And I thank you, Lord, that we're coming into a time to where we need to be close to you as you are to us. You're in us, Lord. And you always hear us. Sometimes we don't think you do, but you always hear us. And Father God, I just praise you and I glorify you for the things that you're doing and are fixing to break loose in this world with this revival, this end time revival that will start and spread all over the world, bringing people from all walks of life into your kingdom. Some that have never known you. Some that have thought they known you, but really didn't know you. And Father, I praise you for that. And I thank you, Lord, for your end time preachers going out there and preaching the gospel, the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I praise you for that, Father. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Father, for this great boldness you've set in people to put the word of God in them and to speak it out as the time arises. And I praise you, Father, for all that you're going to do in us tonight and forever. I praise you, Lord, and it's always going to be just you in our life and nothing else. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Amen. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request? I just want to praise God. That's what I want. I want to praise God for all that you're doing and you're fixing to do, Lord. I praise you, Lord, that this Zion, this promised land, is already here. And we praise you for it, Lord, and I glorify you, Lord, that we are walking into the promised land with our eyes open and our spirits leading. And we praise you, Father, for all that you're going to do and already have done and have placed in us to do. And I thank you, Father, for wisdom and discernment in each and every one of us, Father, in these days ahead. And I thank you, Lord, that you have placed and on a holy boldness in all of it to speak the word when it's necessary. And we praise you, Father. Glory be to God tonight in Jesus' name. Ooh, my, 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 my. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Okay, has anybody got a prayer request? Okay. Yes, Joe.
Morning, everybody.
I got
a friend that's staying, well, I'm somebody staying in my complex. He asked me to give him a lift to a eye institute, which I something to well today, and we talk a little bit, and he's. His background is a little bit, it's Catholicism, only a little bit. He's not doing any, he's not going anything or blaming anything anymore. So it's not, but my prayer request is I want to give him a sovereign God because you have to change his mind about something. He doesn't want to talk religion, but I just said that I told him, he said, the book, it's about the sovereignty of God. Understand that. Don't worry about religion. Understand the sovereignty of God, what he is, what he believes, what you believe. Just have a look at that. So I just want to ask for a prayer for him to be receptive to take that book and just read it.
Amen.
He doesn't want to talk religion, but he just says, no, don't worry about religion. Forget about religion. Just read this book. That's all you want to do.
Amen. Lord, we just ask that you put a powerful anointing on the book itself. And when he touches that book, it'll draw him like a magnet to steel. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that when he opens that book and he starts reading, it'll be just like David did when he opened up the Bible the first time. He couldn't put it down. And Lord, I ask and I pray that your anointing would draw him into that book, give him understanding, and bring him to Jesus. And I thank you, Father, you're going to make a mighty man of God out of him because of it. And he's going to be bold for Jesus. He's going to be bold for God. And I praise you, Father, for doing that for this young man in Jesus' name. Go ahead, Julie.
Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I pray a special anointing and all of your goodness, your kindness, and your presence be with Joe tomorrow, today. This is today, when he meets with this man. And I thank you, Lord, for blessing him to be able to do this. If he's taken him for this appointment, Father, and that this is of you, you're going to give Joe the words. And he's going to be at total peace and rest. And we just bind up all the enemy's tactics against him in Jesus' name. I command failure to all that. We thank you, Lord, that he's going to hear clearly from you and speak only what you'll have him speak and not speak when he shouldn't. And give him ears to hear, Lord, and then be slow to speak and quick to hear. And just he's going to be listening to you, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for the outcome. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
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 Thank you, Father, for doing that. Amen. I believe it. Okay. Anyone else? Let's pray for, Barry and Marilyn. Casey and Jennifer. Don't know what's going on, but we just need to pray for them, okay? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, for the work you're doing in them. I bind up all witchcraft curses that may be directed to them, that are directed to them, and I cast them down as null and void. And I praise you, Father, that you warrior angels around about that family, that you surround that family, that nothing could penetrate inside there. In the name of Jesus, I command healing, whatever is needed in that household right now, in Jesus' name. I command deliverance with whatever is needed in that area, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that your angels are round about ministering to them right now. And I praise you, Father, for your Holy Spirit. And I thank you, Lord, for answering their prayers, because I know they're praying. And I praise you, Father, that you're answering our prayers too. In the name of Jesus, set them free, devil. In the name of Jesus, you get your hands out of that family right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for filling all of them up with your Holy Spirit. And I praise you, Father, for the joy, the rest, and the peace in their hearts, because you're in charge. And I thank you for it, Lord. Glory be to God. And Lord, I ask that you pray through us in the Spirit for them, the things that needs to be prayed in Jesus' name that we don't know about. Devil, you get your hands off that family right now in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, for complete freedom this night, this time, right now. And I thank you, Lord, that they're going to all of them going to get a good night's sleep tonight. Wake up refreshed with lots of energy, lots of all the things that are needed, Lord. And I thank you for doing that for Barry and Marilyn and Casey and Jennifer, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in our lives right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all believe it? I thank you, Father, that it is done. That it is done. That they are free. And those who are free indeed. They're free in Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else? Need prayer or want to pray? Yeah, Julie.
Yeah, I just want to pray for the body. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that we're supposed to count it all joy. Lord, the various trials, manifold trials that you allow us to go through, Lord, and they're for reasons of perfection and bringing us into your image more and more as we lose our life, Lord. And I thank you that you have promised us everything, everything, if we just hold on. And I pray, Lord, for that grace and your strength and your wisdom and your discernment to use the knowledge that we have, to use the armor and the tools that you've given us, Lord. I pray for strength of soul. I pray for increased the endurance and patience and long suffering that we all need. I pray for humility before you, Lord, and to be humble, even with our brethren, Lord, and to do as your word says, and to think of others better than ourselves, and to love, and to be that our love is sincere for each other, Lord, and it grows, and that you're doing this work in all of us, Lord, that you're uniting your people together, Lord, and in a bond of peace and the same spirit until we all reach the unity of the faith, Father. So encourage my brethren, Lord, where they are cast down, and lift them up. Bring us to the place, Lord, where we are all in one accord. Bring us to that place, Lord, where we are constantly, our minds are so stayed on you that nothing else interferes, Lord, that distractions don't bother us anymore, that we overcome these things and our trials that we go through. The distractions don't bother us, the disappointment, the discouragement, the attacks, the assaults of the enemy are only making us stronger, Lord, as we continue to fight. And I pray that everyone is lifted up and encouraged and using their armor, Lord, and that they see the victory, Lord, that you fight the battle for us. You want us to believe, and you want us to keep fighting, and you want us to keep going, and to keep staying in your word and keep abiding in you, Lord. So help us to fight with the armor for one another, Lord, that we are always praying unceasingly for each other, Lord, for ourselves, and doing what you've called each of us to do. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for us, because it's all faith. It's all faith in your grace that you've given us these things, Lord. We have it all. We have everything that you've given us in Christ Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that we are constantly praising you and lifting you up and exalting your name, Lord, always, because you get all the glory, because you're worthy, Lord, what you've done for us and what you've sacrificed for us, Father. And thank you, Lord, for choosing us. Lord, gosh, we're all still here. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. We have so much to be grateful for what you've given us and what you've done for us. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you put us all together here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We do have a lot to be thankful for. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. And the most of you is the Lord in us. Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody else? All right. This is you. Share your, there you go. Go ahead.
That's so cool. Yesterday, well, actually, Merle went to the donut shop today, where he likes to go, and they make breads and they make cakes. There's a lady that makes cakes from and everything. And he comes home with a cake, a birthday cake for me, which yesterday was my birthday. And totally unexpected. And he told me that he ordered a 6-inch cake, but they gave him a 9-inch cake. And I'm like, oh wow. And he didn't have to pay for it, pay for the 9-inch, just the 6-inch anyway. And because when he got there, the lady hadn't put the icing, decorated it yet. But anyway, so so I went to ride my bike today, and I, not long after I got on the bike trail riding, just briefly, the thought of this cake came to my mind. And the Lord says to me, I blessed Merle. I blessed you. I'm like, yeah. I usually am like quick to thank the Lord for stuff like that when things like that happen, but I didn't. I think I was just kind of like, I don't know, blown away, or maybe my mind was somewhere else at the time, or I don't know. But anyway, I said, I'm sorry, Lord, thank you. And then he started showing me, okay, it was supposed to be 6-inch, okay, which 6 is the number of man in flesh, but the Lord made it a 9-inch, which is fruit of the Spirit. And this was for my birthday. And I look at it totally in all this, all spirit, from the flesh to the spirit, fruit of the spirit, I look at it as more of a spiritual birthday, and looking at it in that respect rather than a physical, and I thought, wow, that's cool. This Lord has shown me this. And I was trying to think, if there's anything else he showed me about that. But anyway, that was just what he showed me when I was out riding my bike, So that just touched me that he showed me that. Okay. So then it's this big cake and it's like too much. It's 2-layer chocolate cake with raspberry in between. And I'm like, Merle, we need to share this. Can we share it with the neighbors next door and Mrs. Grimm up the street? He goes, okay. So I took this big chunk after dinner over next door, and then took a piece up to Mrs. Grimm. And she invited me in. I'd never been in her house. And we got to talking, and she was telling me, she's going to sell the house. And I said, I was wondering about that. Anyway, we got to talking about the Lord, and I asked her how she's making out with Sovereign God, how she's making out with the book. She said she hasn't read it for about 2 weeks. She says, but she says when she reads it, she'll read a couple pages. And she says, I just have to sit there and really think about it and meditate on, really think about it and stuff. I just started sharing some stories of David's stories, like the spaghetti and the Lord filling their bellies, and the potato chip story, and I forget which one it was. I don't know if it was Justin, the one that David snatched up and his arm got broke, and the next morning his arm was healed, long story short. And she was blessed by hearing these stories, it was I can tell she was enjoying the visit. I was enjoy we were She was blessed. I was blessed. And I'm just thank you, Lord, for that. It was just so good. And she's gonna move to like a retirement community or whatever. She has a daughter that lives in like next town over or whatever. But so I got to pray with her, and I was telling her about, how humble David is, and he considers himself to be a nobody, which I felt led of the Lord to sing her that song, Nobody. I'm just a nobody. And anyway, she really enjoyed that. I enjoyed singing it, and I'm just like on cloud nine right now. I feel so blessed. That was so good. I was like, I just expected to knock on the door, here's some cake for you, and then go, but you invite me in, and I didn't even expect to stay there as long as I did, but it was so good. I was just like, thank you, Lord. I'm just so blessed. It's just a praise the Lord. And I'd like to pray for her. Father, I praise you and thank you for Mrs. Grimm, Mary, and I thank you, Lord, that you're going to give her wisdom and you're going to be the one making the decisions for her, Lord. I truly believe that she is one of yours and that she is elect. And Lord, I shared with her about the revival coming and the judgments, and she just received it all and she understood what I was saying. And I just praise you, Lord, for giving me the words and giving her the ears to hear, Lord. And I thank you for blessing my socks off and blessing her socks off too. And thank you, Lord, for just being with her every step of the way of this move and being her Psalm 91 protection, Lord, in the days coming, Lord, and that she just really grabs on to faith and believes you for everything, to be her savior in everything, Lord. And bringing her to the faith and believing, Lord, believing you for healing, for everything, Lord. Her knee, I know she said she has a knee that's not good. She told me that the other week. And I thank you, Lord, that knee is healed in Jesus' name. And giving her the faith to believe it and stand in it, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, for doing that. And Lord, that she share with her family, Lord, all that she's learning through Sovereign God, Lord, and even revelations in your word that you will give her apart from her reading Sovereign God, Lord, that just fill her up with your spirit, give her spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of you, enlighten the eyes of her heart, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, for blessing her mightily and growing her up in you to where she's just blown away by how awesome a God you are, Lord. And I can tell she's seeing that, Lord. And I just praise you and I thank you for her, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that when she moves, Lord, that that we still keep in contact, Lord. We still keep in contact and I would be able to go and visit her and so on. And I just thank you, Lord, for doing that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
I don't know what happened, but anyway, we'll have to tie it together at the end, no biggie. We got all yours, Missy. It was on there. Can you hear me? Am I cutting out? No. Okay, good. All right. Anyone else? I'm sorry about that. I was trying to fix my audio. Missy was cutting out on my side. It was my fault. I had the wrong settings on my headset. Anyway, anybody else got a testimony? Y'all ready for a good song? Jesus loves me, this I know. Now here we go. Devil, you get out of here in the name of Jesus. Amen.
The gates and doors were barred, and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness, and rose at every sound, half in hopeless sorrow, half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. Then just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle, and a voice began to call. I hurried to the window, I looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. But there was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. And John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they've moved him in the night and none of us knows where. Oh, the stone's been rolled away and now his body isn't there. So we both ran to the garden, then John ran on ahead. And we found the stone, an empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they'd wrapped him in was just an empty shell. And how or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Oh, something strange had happened there, just what I did not know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, cause I'd seen them crucify him. And then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. So even if he was alive, it could never be the same. Then suddenly, the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Then Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. And I fell down on my knees and I just clung to him and cried. Oh, but then he raised me to my feet. And as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release. Oh, and every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Something that about he tests. Somebody ought to get excited out there. Glory to God. Whoo, my. Just a minute. I got something else I want to show you. It's I can get it all straightened out here. Hang on just a second. I can't think of the guy's name. Daniel West comes to mind. I can't think. I think that's his name. I could be mistaken though. He wrote and sang the song years ago. He's a good singer. But David Phelps even sings it better, I think. Okay, y'all want to hear one more? Okay, this is actually coming from Britain's Talent, Got Talent, but you'll see what I'm talking about when I play this. Missy, you got your hand up for a reason? No, okay. All right. Lord, I thank you for everything. If you couldn't hear it or see it, some of the judges were crying. And lots of the people in the audience were crying too. Awesome.
Michael, can you paste that in the chat?
Just a minute. Just a second. Let me just get this out of here. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. In the name of Jesus, I command this internet problem to cease right now. From this point on, no more interruptions, no more freezing up, no more cutting off the recording, none of that in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father. We're going to have an awesome time for the rest of the night. Devil, you get your hands off of this Zoom meeting tonight, this fellowship, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father. We're going to have an awesome time from this point on because the devil is gone. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Okay. Yeah. Amen. Get out. Get out. You're gone. You're nothing. Matter of fact, I send you back to where you came from. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anyone else? I apologize for all of that. Some of it was my fault, but a lot of it was internet problems. The devil is getting mad because of what's fixing to transpire on this earth. And he's trying everything that he can, which is not enough, which is nowhere near enough, to stop everything that God's doing. And we're just not going to have it. In Jesus' name, we have dominion over it. You got to read the word, devil. That's right. We cast that dragon down. Jesus' name. We break your power off of this internet. We break your power off of this fellowship. You don't have any power over this fellowship. We take authority over you, command you to go. The word says we have authority over you. You got to go. In Jesus' name. All right, Benita, go ahead. We got a free hand now. Praise God.
Amen. I just wanted to share. I went to the funeral of that uncle I was talking about last week. He passed away on Sunday night. And so we went to his funeral today, and a couple people spoke. And this one man that is really close to him got up and spoke. And he just gave a little history and talked about all the great things about this man. And then at the end, he said, I just want to pray two prayers. And he said, well, the first one, you guys might be surprised, but it's from the Bible. And I was like, oh my gosh, praise the Lord. And he said, you know, one time he was with Uncle and they were somewhere and there was something happening and the Lord's Prayer was being prayed. And Uncle prayed along with it. He knew all the words to it. And so this man that was talking, he's like, he was so amazed. He couldn't believe it. He's like, how did you know all the words to that? And he had been, his schooling was all done through a Catholic school and the missionaries there. So he knew the Lord's Prayer by heart. And so this man just had remembered that, and he prayed the Lord's Prayer in front of all the other people. And there was a lot of other Indian prayers going on, but praise the Lord for that. And I just brought a big smile and to my face, and I was so excited. Lord's doing things. So it was great.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for putting your foot in the door. Thank you, Lord. All right. Thank you, Vanita. Is anybody else got one? Anybody got a comment? Prayer. How many of you ever heard of Brother Lawrence? See three people, four people, four people. Okay. Brother Lawrence was alive back in the 1600s. And he wrote a book, or somebody wrote a book of his sayings, actually, called Practice the Presence of God. And that was his main theme throughout his life. And one of the things I've got a thing here that says Brother Lawrence's sayings, and it's from that book. And some of them are really right on. Well, all of them are right on. He says, the most holy and necessary practice in our spiritual life is the presence of God. That means finding constant pleasure in His divine company, speaking humbly and lovingly with Him in all seasons at every moment without limiting the conversation in any way. He said, it's not necessary to have great things to do. He said, I turned my little omelet in the pan for the love of God. The time of business does not differ with me from the time of prayer. And then the noise and clatter of my kitchen, while several persons are at the same time calling for different things, I possess God in as great tranquility as if I were on my knees. He does not ask much of us, merely a thought of Him from time to time, a little act of adoration, sometimes to ask for His grace, sometimes to offer Him your suffering, at other times to thank Him for the graces, past and present, that He has bestowed on you in the midst of your trouble, to take solace in Him as often as you can. Lift up your heart to Him during your meals and in company. The least little remembrance will always be the most pleasing to Him. One need not cry out very loudly, because He is nearer to us than we think. And there was something else I wanted to read here that was really catchy. Listen to what he says here about the practice in the presence. He said, I drove away from my mind everything capable of spoiling the sense of the presence of God. I just make it my business to persevere in His holy presence. My soul has had an habitual, silent, secret conversation with God. There's no sweeter manner of living in the world than continuous communion with God. People seek methods of learning to know God. Is it not much shorter and more direct to simply do everything for the love of Him? There's no finesse about it. One only has to do it generously and simply. He goes on to say in other places in here that you shouldn't have a set regimen. The only regimen you should have is just be in the presence of God continually. And I agree. Y'all agree with that? Because when you're in the presence of God continually, you're conversing with Him all the time, and He's conversing back with you. Boy, I found that so profound. Just this little simple guy that was back in the 1600s that came out with this. He was a monk in a monastery for some years, but he had an understanding of the Lord that very few did back in that day. All right. What else? Anybody got anything they'd like to comment on or bring up? Yeah, Benita.
Yeah, I was just thinking about my prayer life before I came to UBM, and more importantly, before I was filled with the Spirit. And it was a night and day difference to what I have now. And just that, you know, just to be able to pray in the Spirit just changed so many. It just makes it so much easier to just be continually in prayer. And it's such a blessing, such a difference when you're filled with the Spirit. And praise the Lord for that. And what's coming for all these people that are going to be filled It's going to be exciting. All these prayers are going to be going up continually. Amen.
Amen. Amen. He says prayer is nothing else than a sense of God's presence. It's not the greatness of the work which matters to God, but the love with which it's done. You can make great and wonderful prayers and think that you're doing something, but if your heart's not with God, it's all for naught. He said, it is possible for us to live in the very sense of the Lord's presence under even the most difficult circumstances. If you and I are going to enjoy the peace of paradise during this life, we must become accustomed to a familiar, humble, and very affectionate conversation with the Lord Jesus. Oh, glory to God. To worship God in truth is to recognize Him for being who He is and to recognize ourselves for what we are. He said, we can do little things for God. I turn the cake that's lying on the pan for the love of Him. And that done, if there's nothing else to call me, I prostrate myself in worship before Him who has given me grace to work. Afterwards, I rise happier than a king. Don't be discouraged by the resistance you will encounter from your human nature. You must go against your human inclinations. Often in the beginning, you will think that you are wasting time, but you must go on. Be determined and persevere in it until death, despite all the difficulties. He said, loving God and loving one's neighbor is the same thing. Woo, glory to God. He said, people seek methods of learning to know God. Is it not much shorter and more direct to simply do everything for the love of Him? There's no finesse about it. One only has to do it generously and simply. Do not always scrupulously confine yourself to certain rules or particular forms of devotion, but act with a general confidence in God, with love and humility. Awesome. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to comment on or talk about? Is that it, Ben? That to practice the presence. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good book. It's not very long either. It's a short little book. Yeah. Anybody got any comments on practicing the presence of God in your life? I want to do that all the time. I want to do it all the time. Y'all, anybody else want to do it all the time? Practice the presence and be assured that God is listening. Because if, let me ask you a question. Is God listening to you? That's a yes or no. Okay. Does He listen to you all the time? Is it just a little bit when you get real religious and you want to prostrate yourself and while somebody's watching you or you know, that kind of stuff? Or
might do it then too.
You could just yes, He hears every thought. That's exactly right, and that's why our thought life ought to be holy. Yeah, thank you, Father. Yeah, Julie.
Speaking of that, one morning not long ago, I woke up and I was immediately getting hit in my head with all kinds of negative stuff. And I just laid there, like, My thoughts are pure and holy. My thoughts are pure and holy. Thoughts are pure and holy. And it left. You know, those lies left. But yeah, just as soon as I woke up.
Amen. The more we know him, the more we will desire to know him. As love increases with knowledge, the more we know God, the more we will truly love him. We will learn to love him equally in times of distress or in times of great joy. There's no greater lifestyle and no greater happiness than that of having a continual conversation with God. Glory be to God. I invite him to go walking with me, because I know he is, because he's in me. But I invite him to go walking with me every day when I go walking. Come on, Jesus, let's go walking. Yeah, let's go. You know, I can imagine that in my mind. How many of you know that your imagination sometimes turns into truth? Yeah, that's the greatest thing you can have in the spiritual realm is imagination. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to comment on? For goodness sake. Yeah, Pat.
I woke up this morning and I had a...
Praise God.
Well, actually, it wasn't this morning. It was almost this afternoon. because I'm working night shifts. But I had... I woke up and I just had this... feeling of, it wasn't fear, but it was something like, and I got, it just stuck on my mind. I just was wondering, okay, what is this? I cast any, spirit of fear or anxiety or whatever it was out, but, and ask the Lord to show me what, if any, door or what is the, platform or the place or what is it that I continually am plagued with this type of, doubt, fear, anxiety, or whatever. So, but I asked the Lord to lead me through his word, obviously. I ended up over, I started I think the scripture was mentioned tonight, James 1:4. James 1, so I'm going to read a couple verses here. James 1:3 says, knowing that the proving of your faith works patience, and let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. And when I was reading this, this verse related to patience, in the back of my mind, I was thinking of Job. It was always, called, Job, the patience of Job or whatever. And so I kind of broke down this verse a little bit. It was kind of defining the terms. And patience is a word which comes from a couple other words, which is one of the words to, it means under or in the place beneath. And the other section, sorry about that, I'm flipping through my is the word here. The other word that goes with it is to stay or abide or remain, kind of remain in the place. And so patience has kind of the concept of remaining in the place under the thing, under that thing, so to speak. And as I got to thinking of Job, and I actually went back and read Job, the whole thing with Job as well. But the patience, and I kind of had never understood, you know, why do they call it the patience of Job? I mean, it sounds more like he's persevering under the, you know, under the torments and whatever that he was experiencing. But this word patience, as I broke it down, it means remaining in the place under that influence. In other words, Job didn't try to bail. He didn't try to get out from under it. He didn't try to run. He didn't try to argue. He didn't raise his fist, you know, blaming and cursing and whatever. But he remained under that which God had brought upon him. And it hit me the other day, even as I was reading this, that it's interesting that James here is saying, let patience, or this process of remaining under. And again, you go up to the next verse up above it, and it says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations, knowing that the proving of your faith works patience. The trying of your faith works patience, works that ability to stay under and remain in place underneath. And the result of this, verse 4, it says, and let patience, let this process have its perfecting work. Have its perfect work. And we all know what that word perfect means, even though I didn't plug it in here. It means to complete, or to bring into completeness of that thing, of that, you know, whatever it is. And so God builds faith within us by bringing us into situations or conditions that requires the development of patience, or staying under that which God has brought us into. And that very thing is what completes us, completes. And that perfecting or completing process is for the purpose that we may be complete and entire, lacking in nothing. And so it kind of hit me. This is what I was reading yesterday. And then today, when I woke up in this, in this funk, what is this that's happening here? and asked the Lord. And he took me back over to Job, and I read the first couple chapters there of Job, but it's interesting that I'm sure a lot of people have seen this before, but it kind of became a little more clear to me today as I was reading this about what was happening in there in Job's situation. We get the benefit. Obviously, Job didn't have the benefit at the time, but we get the benefit of looking at what was happening in the heavenly process while he was going through the results of that on earth. And I guess it's interesting that to me that the devil, even though, you know, when the devil showed himself up or came up and presented himself before God, you know, and he's asking him where he was, what's he been doing, you know, walking up and to and fro on the earth, etc., that sort of scenario. And then, of course, God points out Job to him. And as Job, and so the devil basically accuses God that, sure, Job is a good guy. Sure, he's perfect and upright in all his ways. He's that way because you're bribing him with your goodness in his life. I mean, it was generally what the devil was saying. You've hedged up around him and you're blessing him, and sure, he's going to love you because of all that. And so God then allowed the devil to afflict Job, and Job still, you know, sat down in the ashes and you know, praise God, you know, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the Lord. And then the devil come back the next time. And then, of course, there was the same thing happened, and the devil afflicted him with boils and et cetera. And we all know the story, you know, that process. But what was happening in the heavenlies is that God was going out on the limb, trusting that Job's faith and love would hold up under that attack, shall we say. And the devil, of course, was planning on the fact that Job would fail and curse God. And so there was a whole battle of in the heavenlies as to, will mankind love God for the purpose of loving God, even in the environment if they are, without the blessings of God in their life? In other words, if they're tried to the point of losing the blessings of God and experiencing the curses, will they still love God? And of course, Job came through the process. Very well, obviously. And as David and Michael and everybody else says, he had a few things to learn but he came through, and the trial of his faith, he persevered and he stayed under it and blessed God through the process and reaped the benefits. And I remember reading Job when I was a new Christian, and it really brought me a lot of comfort at that time, because I realized that the devil, that in my strength, there would be absolutely no way in the world, no way in existence that I would be able to stand up, outthink, outsmart, or whatever, the devil in anything. If it was a matter of sheer strength and, or whatever else, you remember in the story where he actually, raised up a wind and destroyed the house. House fell on the children. He, raised up a band of Sabians, he called them, or whatever. Anyway, it brought in people against Job and against his family. And he, you know, he literally killed people. There's no way in the world I would be able to stand up to something, number one, that I couldn't even see. And I realized at that time that it didn't have anything, to do with me being able to protect myself or anything, but it was all God's word. It was all God. The devil couldn't do anything to Job without his allowing it to happen. And I found great comfort in that at that time, because I realized, you know, you can't be any more protected than in God's hands. You'll never find another place that's more protected than that. So, why I was thinking about it today is that, again, this fear and anxiety and I even got the thought that maybe it was just an overcautious awareness or something that was there. And the Lord it took me to Job just to think about that whole process and kind of put a little bit of perspective back, in my mind, at least, that, you know, when Jesus said, what was the verse? He said something about he was, I wrote it down in John 4:53 says, so the father that knew, oh, I'm sorry, that's not it. It has to do with, my father who has given them is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my father's hand. Talking about in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My father who hath given them unto me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my father's hand. I and the father are one. Of course, he stirred up the Jews with that, but The point being is if we're resting, if we are in the Father's hands, the peace that comes from that is coming when we learn to rest in that hand that can't, where we can't be touched, you know? So, I don't know if that was, if that is the end of what I, you know, what I've got to, experience or understand in that process. But anyway, that's kind of where the Lord took me through this morning related to that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Well, let's see here. I think we're in Proverbs. Somewhere in Proverbs. Are we in Proverbs 2? Which verse was it? I don't have it marked. We can start with 1. If somebody doesn't have it marked, I don't. Okay. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and lay up my commandments with thee, so as to incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou cry after discernment and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure or hidden treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So, anybody got any comments on those? What you talking about? If you will receive my word, anybody got any comments on that? Yeah, Judy.
Believe them, receive them, and believe them as true.
Yeah, receive them, believe them, and practice them. Amen. And lay up my commandments with thee, so as to incline thine ear unto wisdom. What does that mean? Who is wisdom? Amen. Who is understanding? He's letting us see that we need to have wisdom and discernment. Those things are constant throughout. Wisdom and discernment. Wisdom and discernment. You need wisdom and you need discernment. And the wisdom, how do you get to wisdom? Yeah, Andrew.
Well, I'm just wondering, when we began today, we were talking about its presence. The practice is presence. And here, everything here is about the presence. Jesus in Revelation 19:13 is, he's the one whose vesture is stained, and his name is called the Word of God. So that's the first word there. And we want to speak in accordance to the oracles of God, according to Peter, chapter 4, verse 11. And so this presence is all there, but he's appealing to you to practice his presence. Because if you go through 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you'll see verse 8, you'll see the Lord Jesus' presence there. And it's a spirit. And the word spirit's in that verse, and it's a small s. But then I think it's the very next verse. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and 8, it says there, and then shall be revealed the lawless one, whom the Lord Jesus shall slay with the spirit, and that's a small s, of his mouth, and bring to naught by the manifestation of his presence. And then it talks about the presence of another, him whose presence is according to Satan's working, with all power and signs and wonders of falsehood, and with all deceit of unrighteousness for the perishing, in that they receive not the love of the truth, that they be saved. And of course, some people don't think that God would give this kind of error to people. But, you know, if that's all they ever want, I think if that's the presence they want, that's the presence they'll get. So I believe the Lord is appealing to us to follow his word, his spirit, because we know that this wisdom and is a light that's in your lamp, that's in your spiritual temple, and we know that understanding is there too. But he's also giving you in verse 3 discernment, and that's the discernment of what? Discerning of spirits, which is in the New Testament in chapter 12, the gifts of the Spirit. It's one of the revelation based gifts, and this is sometimes the first gift people get, is discerning of spirits. And because you can discern that, hey, there's something wrong with that guy, you know. And even the world, if it's really bad, even the worldly people can discern there's something wrong with that guy, you know. And you know, I actually went to look up how to spell the word eschatology in the dictionary. It was a problem for me. But I found the word, and it says the study of death, judgment, heaven and hell, and how humanity relates to them. So if you got heaven and hell there, then you got spirits of good or evil. In one of the verses that I really like in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where it says, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers, and then you practice who's on the right hand and who's on the left. So I think in the first 3 centuries there was a huge school of eschatology. I can't remember where I heard this, but it was from UVM, and they had 100,000 students in that school. And that's quite a bit of people, considering that there was only maybe 300 million people on the entire planet. And that's just in a school that many people went through to study the Spirit of God. So can't remember exactly what we were talking about that day, but, you know, if people are not taught this eschatology, then they're going to think there's more than one gender out there. You know, and that's a spirit thing. And they lack discernment. Now everyone wants to be super discernible, super spiritual, and yet, you know, I think I remember watching on YouTube once, I think he was in grade 4 or 5, and he told the teacher that there's only 2 genders, you know. And yeah. even with that, you know, you would think that people who are even under guardians and tutors and really don't have Christ formed in them yet would know that this is wrong. But then how does God's sovereignty work for this? You see, because if he's giving them this, what I call 2:11 of 2 Corinthians, this working of error with something so simple, then, you know, there's a different presence there. You know, those verses will show you the presence. You know, Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3, it's questionable. Where's the promise of his presence? It says there, I think, in 3 and 4 of 2 Peter. For ever since the fall, there's fell asleep. All things remain the same from the beginning of creation. And the problem there is there will be a lack of the presence of God in people. And we want that presence. We want, show me thy path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. So we want that presence constantly with us. And I just like what Michael read today on how this man was practicing God's presence in everything, the flipping of his food for breakfast or something. We always want to be in his presence. We don't leave God, but like I said, there's that wonderful verse in chapter 2 or 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and 16 that God's going to walk in us. That's really interesting. It's like what Pat said not too long ago about the presence of God in you. Here you have God walking in you. And we don't really box around God, but he did say in a certain verse over there in the Old Testament, command ye me. And I think it's more of a fellowship with your Father. And we constantly want to have fellowship with him. We don't want any other word but God's word. Because the other word will give you a different name, a different mark, a different image, a different spirit, and a different lifestyle. There's sheep are not goats, and goats are not sheep. And both have a different lifestyle. A goat will try to butt horns with a sheep and attack a sheep. If you have goats and sheep at the same time in the same field, and of course the ram from the sheep has to protect the herd from this goat trying to mess with the other sheep. So then of course the farmer comes in and takes them apart, because they sometimes graze in the same field as the sheep, the goats, but one of the goats, you know, a young goat wants to prove who he is and stuff. So you got to watch out for them. If they try to get your goat, they try to get you going. You know how it is. When I used to go to work, there used to be a guy that used to always try to get me going. And I used to always think, because there was two of us at my workplace that were saved, and kind of a sad story. And he would always come back and pretend to be really nice and polite with me. And I would receive him that way, because I never knew if the other guy actually talked to him about the Lord or something, and he was coming to talk to me about it. And then he would get me going to a certain point, and he would laugh at me. And he did this quite a few times, you know, and I didn't know about Pilgrim's Progress back then. But the Lord still protected me until one day he got in a big argument with the boss. And that was his last day of work. And the Lord said to me that he protects his people. And I felt sorry for him after he left that. He just, it was like he had payback. And I would still, you know, I pray for him. I do sometimes think about him, and, you know, because I used to work with this person for a while. Anyways, I think I went on a rabbit trail there, but you know, all these words here from the prophet, whoever wrote this, is fulfilled in us by Jesus. It's in the Sermon on the Mount. Think not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. So we have this, the fulfillment of all these words here, these proverbs. And they'll give you some discernment too. Not so much here, but it'll show you the difference between the letter and the spirit. And later on in some of the proverbs, just in brief understandings. So praise God. Glory to God.
Amen. Go ahead, Pat.
I was just thinking about, obviously, Proverbs was written before the New Covenant and the giving of the Holy Spirit and everything. And just it just kind of dawned, well, seeing it in these verses, what God looks like he is doing to me is in verse 1 where he says, my son, if you will receive my words and lay up my commandments with thee. In other words, take God's word, his commandments, and put them before you. Read them. Just read them. Just lay them up before you and let them come into you and read them. So that you incline your ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. In other words, if you just take those words, put them before you, read them, and ask God to explain them to you. What do you mean by this, Lord? What, I don't understand what that means. What is that? Can you show me? Can you tell me? Bring it into my heart. Yea, if you cry after discernment and lift up thy voice for understanding, that's, and so he's implementing not only that desire that's within your heart, but raising your voice and letting what's in your heart come out through your mouth and cry out to God and lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her for silver and search for her as hid treasures, if you put that word, allow that word that you're reading and seek God to know what that is and consider that, knowing that that wisdom and that truth and understanding that is more important than anything else and you could possibly desire. And then of course in verse 6 he says, in 5 he says, then you shall understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge. These verses remind me of, especially there in verse 1, it is in Hebrews 4:12, and everybody knows that, where in 11 he's saying, therefore give diligence to enter into this rest, that no man fall under the same example of disobedience, for the word of God, maybe I should have just started there, the word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. In other words, it is dividing, make a division between the motivations or the purpose or the vision of the spirit and the thought processes of the soul, and the cause and effect relationship between the two of the joints and marrow, and quick to discern the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And of course we know that the Word of God has the ability to do that. It's not, you know, not like we're going to figure it out. It's the Word of God as we bring it into our heart and meditate on it and allow it to do its perfect work, that it actually, that living Word actually divides and provides that understanding with us. And I think, in Proverbs, that's, kind of the law version of, or the mechanics involved to allowing that process to happen when I think in the new covenant, we tend to just cry out to God and say, you know, what are you talking about here, Lord? Look for him to provide that understanding. But here in Proverbs, he takes it through the Word and allows the Word to do that. Anyway, kind of what I was thinking.
You know, no, Pat, there's another verse in 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 23, that complements that living Word verse. So just as a second witness, if anyone wants a second witness, in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23, it says, begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through God's word, which liveth and abideth. So it's just another witness. So out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, but my word is established. And it's our living Word. It's the presence we want in us, and the Lord writes it on our heart, of course. And by grace we can write it. Praise God.
And look at that verse right before that, Andrew.
That's a nice one too, with having our souls purified. And yeah, the soul has to gain its fruit. They would say no cross, no crown, but it's, if it's no word, no cross, no crown, no fruit. And of course the crown is the fruit that you obtain through the Word of God. Having our souls, having purified your souls and with all intent, having purified your souls in obedience to the truth, unto unfretted love of the brethren, love one another from the heart fervently. And, you know, that's the love of obedience, the love called agape. And it's according to his word. And his spirit and the new life. We're one body. We must love the body and any part of the body, just as it even says, you know, that that as soon as a person gets called, he sees it equal in the body, even with the apostle. Praise God. So really it is about God dwelling in you and walking. And he goes first, and we love because he first loved us. And we didn't choose him, he chose us. So praise God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else on those five verses? That's kind of what we were reading about earlier when Brother Lawrence was talking about walking with the Lord, you know. Just talk to the Lord. Right. Anybody else on those five verses? It's a lot there. It's a lot there. That's our walk with the Lord right there. Keep the Lord with all your understanding. All right. Number six. Well, the Lord gives wisdom. Oh, wait a minute. Let's go back here. Andrew, I wanted to ask you a question. Let's see here. Oh, never mind. Never mind. It was on something else. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to them that walk in integrity, that he may guard the paths of justice and preserve the way of his saints. Okay, what's he talking about here? You want me to pick somebody? Okay. What do you think he's talking about there, Joe?
No, I'm not sure. But I'd like to put it on from the beginning verses. About if you say, but I did, if I will receive, I look under the meaning of that. But also said use. Receive means it's you somebody give it to you and you use it. In other words, that's giving and receiving. In other words, that's getter and the doer. So that's, Lord doesn't keep his word for everybody. He gives it, and if you give it, you must use it, like say, lay up the commandments with thee. In other words, you have to, use what you use. And then both, from verse 1 to verse 5 says about, talk about Jesus. I'm sure it's if you receive him, if you listen to him, if you obey him, and if you work with him, then it's all understanding my word. He is wisdom. When you should have understanding and you should have knowledge to use it, and you should have discernment to use what he gives you. But what I was beginning, I'm not reading about six already. I'm just thinking about verse 1 to 5. So I hope you can explain what I'm trying to say.
I've caught some of it, but not much of it. Okay. For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Let's go one at a time here. What does that mean? Benjamin.
Well, I think it's pretty straightforward as to what it means. The Lord gives us the wisdom that we need to walk in his straight path. out of his mouth. He's the one that uttereth it, and he's the one that provides it all. It's not like, well, we can read the Bible, but it's the Lord that brings us to the Word of God. And we could read the Word of God and memorize it, but, you know, what's memorizing the Bible if you're not going to live it or have it understand in your mind and in your soul? That's part of God. Anybody can read the Bible and memorize it.
Yeah. I remember David talking about when that Baptist boy challenged him to read the Bible. And it was a spiritual thing, actually. He said when he started reading it, he couldn't put it down. That was an anointing from God. He knew David's character. And he knew that if he could catch on to this, he'd go through there and he'd search it out and stay with it. He was like that. He's going to find out whether God was real or not. And he found out he was. And when he came to places, after he came to Christ by reading the Word of God. And a lot of people have. People, I have heard about people listening. When the Lord gives wisdom, out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. I've heard about people in prison that couldn't read, learned how to read by reading the Bible. Listened to the Bible and read it. God is so good. If you won't do bad enough, you can understand the Word of God. And God will give you all of that. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Yeah, Patrick.
So I was just thinking that in that verse, in the first five there, it's talking about, you know, laying up his word. That I think he's talking about his written word. Commandments and reading and taking it in. But in this verse, he's making the transition, just like Ben was saying. Now it's the understanding portion of it is coming from God speaking to you. From God speaking to your heart through the environment of this word, which you have placed in your heart, which you've placed in your mind and allowed that environment, the springboard by which the Spirit of God can speak to you and start to allow you to understand what those words mean. And then, of course, the next two verses, he explains his purpose in this, of God explaining and giving us understanding as to what these words mean, is so that he may guard the paths of justice and preserve the way of his saints. In other words, when that word comes in and God is able to speak to us, to our heart as to what this means, these words mean, it allows God to build a barrier and a guard and a preservation mode in our spirit and guard us against the external world influences, because that word has that protective ability to do that, and so he knows he can build in us his protective layer, shall we say, when we understand his very word. So that's all I had to say.
Amen. Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
I did read a couple of days ago. I read about in Saving Our Family by Faith with David talking about wisdom and things there. And he's talking about that you can, you have to have the understanding of a knowledge, and you have to have wisdom to use the knowledge and understand the knowledge you're going to use. You cannot have, if you just have wisdom by itself without knowledge and understanding, that doesn't work quite well. You have to have the knowledge and understanding to apply the wisdom, knowledge and understanding of what you read and what you're doing. That's just an interesting thing that David was talking about in that book. Thank you.
Okay. Oh no. All of what you said, but I think you were talking about, well, let me ask you this. What gives us the wherewithal to understand the Word of God?
For wisdom. But Jesus, in other words, God, but God doesn't give you wisdom. You won't understand it. In other words, people, I think they read, I'm reading it somewhere, is they read, but they cannot understand. They see, but they cannot see. It's just, if you look in the physical and consider the spiritual, if God doesn't open up the spiritual world, the spiritual entity, then you won't understand it. So God doesn't use, give you, he can give you a knowledge, give you understanding, but that's, that could be purely physical. But if that wisdom, he give you, would put it into spiritual. Well, that makes sense, one thing.
Amen. Amen. The Lord gives us the Holy Spirit to teach us these things, to open it up. And, you know, let me ask another question. Can you spiritually understand the Word of God without the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Okay. All right. No, you cannot. Yeah, Pat.
Well, I think there's a depth of understanding. There's a depth of understanding that is certainly lacking. But I believe that you can understand, exactly by what Solomon was giving us in the Proverbs there, that if you take that word, the Word of God, never loses its power to, of the living aspect of it in order to start to break down and separate, the spirit from the soul, shall we say. Even in the Old Covenant, before the giving of the Holy Spirit, the practical aspect, the power of that word still had the ability to accomplish those things. And I kind of speak lightly because, I mean, if you look at David, or the prophets, they certainly, you know, understood, aspects of God's word and, you know, that, and saw certain things then, in the midst of that old covenant. And quite frankly, Jesus, was born in the midst of that old covenant and only had the old covenant writings, the law, etc. to go with. However, I believe the because when you mentioned that, Michael, I was looking for that that verse over in Corinthians, probably Andrew would know where this was at. It was the one, oh, okay, it's in 2:11. 1 Corinthians 2:11, or 2:10. Well, it's 2:9. Let me start in 2nd chapter in verse 9. But as it is written, things which I, meaning eyeball, saw not, and ear heard not, and which entered not into the heart of man, whatsoever things God prepared for them that love him, but unto us God revealed them through the Spirit. And I think this is what, you know, you're saying, Michael, that without the Spirit, it's hard to perceive and understand those things. But the thing that I was seeing through these verses, the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For who among men knoweth the things of man, save the Spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God none knoweth, save the Spirit of God. And that verse, when I first started thinking about it, and the Lord showed me that, you know, if you wanted to know exactly how I understood a certain thought or a certain words or a certain thinking or whatever, I could explain it with my mouth as much as I possibly could, but I would have to use words. I'd have to create words that, and hopefully those words as I was presenting them was creating a picture in your mind as to what I really was thinking, what I meant by those. But it would all depend upon, number one, if I was able to present it in such a way, and that you on the other side were able to understand those words the way I understood them and put them together in order to understand the specific thought that I was having or the way my perspective on it. It would be a whole lot easier and probably the only way that could possibly done if somehow I could take my spirit in me and send it right over there and plug it into your brain, then you'd be able to really understand what I was thinking and what I was. And God in these verses is saying that we can only understand what God is thinking by receiving that Spirit. God takes his Holy Spirit and takes it and just transplants it right into our heart and into our brain, into our mind, and we're able to see from God's perspective what he means by those words. And it's so much clearer and quicker and precise, and God gives us many ways to test that and to try that and to work it through the process, etc. But, and I believe that is the baptism, the filling, the receiving of the Holy Spirit, which you're talking about. However, they were not absent from God's wisdom, you know, in the old covenant before the receiving of the Holy Spirit, I believe. Anyway, that's all.
Okay. Well, I guess I should have rephrased the question to be, can you understand the full spiritual aspect of the Word of God without the Holy Spirit? You've got denominations out there that don't understand the Word of God because they don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if they just read Acts, they could find out that it's for everybody. And the Holy Spirit is for teaching, right? That's what one of his jobs, that's one of his major jobs, is to teach the Word of God. And I go back to David. I'm amazed that I shouldn't be, because he's been doing this for 50 years, studying the Word of God every day. And he's got the whole picture of the Word of God, believe me. And he understands the part that the Old Testament plays in the New Testament. And he can put those things together and bring out some spiritual meanings that is that pertain to what's going on today in a way that we would understand, because he's listening to the Holy Spirit. And because it's two things, it's studying the Word of God and allowing the Holy Spirit to work as well. But you have to have the Word in you to understand the full aspect of the Word of God. Ooh, we're about out of time here. Anybody got a prayer request before we leave tonight? I got, how many times did we have? Anyway, Lord, I just ask for your leading through your Holy Spirit for everybody here, that when we do open up the Word of God, we ask you to help us with the revelations and the teaching that you want us to know when we do open it up and study it, Lord. We praise you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for protecting us against the enemy. Thank you, Lord, for pulling down the beast enemy away from us in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that everybody's going to get a good night's sleep or a good day's work in Jesus' name. And we praise you and glorify you, Father, for all that you've done. And Lord, we just thank you that this great Mount Zion is fixing to be climbed, and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Well, good night.